Hymn 352, fourth scripture read. Hymn 352. Hymn 352. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be
morning, church. This morning, scripture will be taken from Hebrew chapter 6 and verses 1 through 2. Again, that is Hebrew chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. And it reads, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying of on the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. I read it here in Hebrew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Lord had a blessing to read in the hearing of his word.
Please mark hymn 593, Free Waters, 593 for the song of encouragement. For the speaker of the hour, turn to page 361 and let us stand. I don't know about you all, I got up early and I'm little sluggish. I think we need to stand up. I know I need to wake up. Hymn 361. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckoning from heaven's open door, and I can feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can feel at home in this world anymore. And just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven's shore. And I can feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Heaven not my home. Do the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can feel at home in this world anymore. You know I have no friend like you. Not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can feel at home in this world anymore. Good morning, everyone. It is indeed a pleasure and a blessing to be alive this day. To have such a privilege in life to enjoy all the blessings, but especially to be blessed with an opportunity in the right kind of mind to serve our true and loving God in heaven. We thank Him for that, and we thank you for taking this time to come and be with us. As you notice in your bulletin, our subject for today is moving on past first principles. I have one announcement because I try to have a rule: when you stand up, don't stand back up. So I have one announcement, you know. What are you supposed to do? Stand up, speak up, shut up, sit down, you appreciate it, or something like that.
But the announcement is, teachers, please look on the list on the board, and please look in the fellowship hall and pick up the books. There were five sets there last week. The quarter starts next Sunday. Wednesday is the last day in this quarter, so would you please look at the list on the board and then pick up your books. If you happen to see someone there that you are well acquainted with, please contact them or contact me so they can get their books and be ready to go. I thank you for that. This morning, getting back to our lesson, let's look at the scripture text, and I will read it again for emphasis, that we find in Hebrews chapter number 6, the verse numbers of 1 and 2. The writer of Hebrews says this: therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. If you notice this verse closely, there are six specific things pointed out in that particular verse, or that particular two verses. That six particular things are referred to as the elementary of the first principle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's not one hint here that says don't understand the first principles. The hint is to understand the first principles and then move on past the first principles and move on to perfection. Something that's very profound in that particular scripture is that if we are going to survive, we are going to have to move on to perfection. If we don't move on to perfection, we're not going to be able to survive. In the physical life, survival is a big thing. But in the spiritual life, survival is even a greater thing. The first 4.5 or 5 chapters of the book of Hebrews is used to tell us how great the new system that Christ brought in is. He's telling us how great everything in the new system, no matter what you thought about the old system, and a lot of talk there was about the greatness of the edifice of the temple and these kinds of things. But everything in that particular text leading up to chapter number 6 is telling us how much better it is. God is so much better through Jesus than he was through the old law. The new covenant is so much better than the old covenant. The tabernacle and the temple worship could not forgive men of their sins, but under this law, we now have redemption, we have forgiveness, and we are able to move on. And then he's calling out to these people, and he said, now hold on. Hold on, because no matter how tough it is, you got something that's better. In the end of chapter number 5, he wrote these words. He says, though it's time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And he goes on and says, because of this, you have need for milk and you're not ready for the meat of God's word. And then he goes down into the text that we just read to you in chapter number 6. And he says, now let's get past these things. Let's remember them, but let's get past them. Repentance from dead works. When we are not a Christian, we are in our dead works. And many of us who are Christians are in the midst of dead works. We're not getting anything done. So let's repent from those things and let's move on. He continues, faith toward God. You remember in this same chapter, he wrote this: for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whosoever come to him must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. And the word diligently refers to they were beginning to drift and about to fall away. When you look at the book of Hebrews, look at yourself. Think about where you are. Are we all fired up? Are we just like that group of Christians, just about to fall away? We're on our last leg. We're not going to be able to make it. When I was in high school, we used to have pep rallies. Any of y'all remember pep rallies? I don't know what they do now. I don't have an idea what they do. And then you go back and say, when you were in high school, can't nobody remember like that. Well, that's probably true. Because I forgot. What has it been? 45 years since I was in high school. Man, I ought to be gray, but I didn't get there. You see how blessed I am? Didn't even get gray. But anyway, when I was in high school, we had pep rallies. And the whole purpose of the pep rally was to set the hearts of the team in such a way that they would give it their best. Not only did we want to set the heart of the team where the team would give their best, but we also wanted the coaches, we wanted them to give their best in leading and directing the players. And you might call what we call the leadership the coaches, and the coaches got to stand up and give their best. You might call the rest of us the team, and the team got to get our hearts right so we can do it. We have a goal. We want to win. We want all the fans on the same page and everybody ready. You see, even though we're prepared, spirit is part of this. If you don't have the right spirit, we just down and we're about to die and not ready to move on and do what's assigned to our hand. We spend our time talking about the other team. They're bigger than us. They're tougher than us. They got better equipment than us. But that's not what this is about. It's about us stepping up, doing what we got to do to get the job done, because our goal is to win, to get to the journey, the end of the journey that's set before us. Sometimes I think maybe we need to have a pep rally. I think we're having one all the time. We just don't know we have a pep rally. You see, a pep rally is to get the team ready to go. Get us stepped up to the plate and not to be sluggish like this group was. They were laid back and thought we just not going to be making it. Not going to be able to make it. But one of the reasons was they had been Christians for over 35 years and they hadn't moved on. Well, do you think for just a minute, how long have I been a Christian? Have I moved on? You see, at this particular time, even though they're crying, now, we've had the opportunity almost 2,000 years. But they had been Christians for over 35 years, but they were still in that rut and not ready to move on. You know how sometimes people say, well, how often ought I do that? How much ought I give? That's first principle. Not that you shouldn't give. Not that you shouldn't attend, but we ought to be moving on past that. We need to have a pep rally. A spiritual pep rally to get us set on fire, to go do what it is that we ought to do. You know, sometimes you can take a team that's not as good, but a team with heart can win because they believe they can do it and then they trust in something. And we have a foundation and we have a Father and all of the heavenly host that we can trust in, and we can do this if we're willing, or we can just sit here and lay back and say, why don't we just hold on to what we used to have? And these were wavering back and forth, and they had some problem as to whether or not they were going to defect and go back to what they used to have. Do we want to defect? Or do we want to step up and push forward to get it done? Now, when you step up and decide you're going to do something, you're going to have to work. That's just the way it is. You're going to have to work. There's nothing that comes without work. And there's a lot that causes us to be devoid of sleep when we want to accomplish a goal. Now, I dare say that any one of us got anything good, we've lost some sleep over it. If we didn't lose any sleep over it, it's not any good. Lost some sleep over it. And if my soul salvation is greater than anything else, then I ought to sometimes lose some sleep over it. It just ought not to be that, but we ought to do extra. You know how the coach used to say, we're going to have two practices today. After you get through whining, you get in line and you practice. This is how we do it. This is what we need to do here, you see. The coach need to call us. We need to have two practices today. And as soon as we get through whining, we need to step up and we need to get in line. But it would be much better if we could say, here am I, Lord. Send me. You see, these people, they were about to fall away. They hadn't been Christian for 35 years. And you know, 35 years is a long time. Now, you can look at it like you want, but that's about all we got, 35 or 40 years. You grow up, you get grown, you live 35, 40 years, you die. And the whole purpose of the day we die is be ready to go to heaven. Because if we're not ready, there's already a place prepared for me to go. And I will go. You know why? Because he said it would happen. It's time for us to wake up. Time for us to get pepped up. And you know, people that have pep rallies, the one that put it on, they practice. They practice. When do we practice? When do we learn how to get good at the thing that we ought to be doing? To move on past where we are. Because if we stay there, we're not going to be able to gain the ground. You know, there's a lot of talk about this old adage. You know the devil busy. Lord have mercy. Yes, he's busy. But are we busy? You see, if we get busy, we can take it. But if we just let the devil be busy, we're going to fall away. Not going to be able to enjoy the blessings. How much do you love being a part of the suffering of Christianity? Did you know how we notice how we said that? Being a part of the suffering of Christianity. You see, Christianity is about suffering. Why? Because the blood that washed away my sin, the blood that washed away your sin, came through suffering. How much are we willing to suffer to be a part of the same thing that brought us from where we were to where we are today? We need to understand this. You see, it's time to get up. It's time to even get upset with me and say, I don't like what he said. And if you don't like what I'm saying, do something about it. This is where we need to go. And the view that we need to have, because these Christians were about to die and go back and do nothing. And even if they were there, they only wanted to talk about first principles. You see, here's some of the problems that they had. 35 years had already passed since the first Pentecost of the resurrection of Jesus. The ones addressed in this letter, these Christian converts, they were from Judaism, and they were in danger of a massive falling away from the faith and going back to their old religion of Judaism. You know, in Sunday school this morning, we talked about an old raggedy house. How many of y'all want to go even from where you are now back to where you used to live? Think about it. Back to the house you used to live in. You see, we've been blessed. But we need to see it from a spiritual perspective, that the house that we used to live in was raggedy, just like the physical house. And we don't want to go back to there, but we need to move on and enjoy the blessings that's been poured out upon us. The early enthusiasm generated by this new movement had lost its glamour. You know why? When there's ever something new, whenever something new come along, I jump on board and I'm fired up. But as soon as the juice run out, I'm done with it. And my view is, y'all got to make me like the juice instead of me putting juice in it so it will go somewhere. You see, we all got to join hands and lift it up and make it happen to just be able to get there. Sound like I'm fussing, doesn't it? I need to change tone, don't I? Trying to encourage, trying to get us to see. If I'm going to get there, I got to do it. Or else, we're going to be wiped out. We're going to be wiped out. And wiped out is bad. Wiped out determined my eternal destination. And it's not good. It's not good. Where I say I want to go, and where I want to go, the activity and the action need to match for me to get there. This is how we need to see this. The Christians, a generation had passed among these people, and Christ had not come back yet after 35 years like he said he was going to do. Of course, here we are, and 2,000 years have passed, and he hadn't come back yet. Now, instead of us looking, we probably need to be prepared. Because if he were to come back, would I be ready? We need to pay attention, you see. Instead of hurrying him up to come back, we need to hurry up and get ready. So he can come back, and we reap the reward that we set out to reap to do this particular thing. You see, too often, we like Brill Cream Christianity. And I know you got to be old to understand Brill Cream Christianity. See, if you knew, you never heard of it. But Brill Cream, see, I can tell who knows about it, smiles on everybody's face that's old enough to know about it. But Brill Cream, a little dab or do ya? You got to remember that, you see. You see, we got to realize that a little dab of this is not enough. It has to be 100%. We got to get involved and do it. And you see, he didn't write what he wrote in Hebrews just a couple of pages. He wrote what he wrote in Hebrews to help me to see that I need to move forward or else I'm going to fall in the same trap. You see, I think everything that's written on the pages of inspiration is written there to strive to help me not to fall into the trap. And so therefore we need to see that there is a trap. And the trap is just holding on, you see. If you keep these hands closed, won't nothing get out, but guess what? Can't nothing get in either. And we need to realize that. When we look a little further, we find that not only that, but the Christians had begun to endure savage persecutions, arrogance and scorn, because normally when you make a change to Jesus, everybody want to tell you why you don't know that what you did, and who knows about some kid that pretends like he's some savior, and they say he went back to heaven, and we don't know where he is, you see. So they had begun to suffer all of this persecution and all of this scorn. Not only this, their fellow countrymen had began to ridicule them about changing from the old way to the new way. Why would you do something like this when you had everything was so good? Think about how great the temple is, and think about all the prominence that the priest has among the kings and all the leaders of the nation and these kinds of things. But the one thing that they never said, think about he who can help to save your soul, that never came up in this particular discussion. Those who did not obey the gospel of Christ and remained Jews used persuasive measures to re-enlist those who had to obey those who had obeyed the gospel back into the old ways and concepts. The Jews' persuasive influence on these new Christians left them struggling with many trials and wondering whether they would be able to hold on to their new faith in Jesus Christ or whether it would be better for them to turn back to their own old religious ways. When we pay attention to Hebrews, and even when we look back at Israel as they were coming out of the wilderness, as they'd make about a day's journey, they would stop and ask Moses, why did you bring us out here in this wilderness? Why didn't you leave us back down there? At least we only had to make bricks and we had cucumbers to eat. And now you brought us out here and we don't have anything to eat. And then when God sent the manna down from heaven, they still complained. They said, why did you bring us out here? This light food that you brought us is not good enough. And then he brought them the quails and then they ate on them and then they didn't like that either because they didn't have what they wanted, but they didn't see the big picture. And you know what we need to do? We need to try to see the big picture. And if I can see the big picture, then I can work to do it. You know, I still believe we ought to spend 10 or 15 minutes. More than that, but we got to start somewhere. We ought to spend 10 or 15 extra minutes every day doing something for God. We first need prayer and meditation. We need it. Because you're going to meet somebody at your job that's not God. You don't have to worry about it. All you got to do is show up. We need to study the Word so we'll know what we ought to do. And then we need to digest the Word and be willing to accept the Word, because normally God wants me to do something that's different from how I'm already thinking. But we need to move on past where we are. And we need to look out into the future and gain the blessing. You know, if anybody had told me what it took to get my degree, I never would have majored in what I majored in. I thought I was just the most backwards guy in the world. Why did I pick that profession? It was hard. It was tough. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on. But now that I look back, maybe I was supposed to do that. Because now I'm slightly capable of being analytical. And maybe I'm supposed to be. Do you see what I mean? So it's the struggle that we got to go through to get there. And we need to realize that the end result is a good part that we're looking for. You know, when I think about my child, who would have ever thought she would have spent 14 years in school? Who would have ever thought that? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Who would have ever thought you spent that long in school? You was almost an old man when you got out of school. No pun intended, but that's the price you got to pay to get to where you are. If that price is paid in the physical, the price got to be paid in the spiritual, that we can reap the benefits, and we need to get past where we are. Move on to perfection. The word there is maturity. We ask the question, what caused these Christians to be in great danger of falling away from their faith in Christ? Our scripture text says this. They had, the reason that they were in danger of falling away is because they had not left the discussion of the first principles of Christ and worked to go on to perfection. This is what caused them to fail. Now, if it caused them to fail, let's ask the question, what will cause us to fail today? And the answer has to be, if we fail to move on past the first principles, we too are going to fail. Let's note the first principles. Repentance from dead works. It's obvious. We need to repent. Even when they cried out on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? Guess what they said? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We need to have faith toward God, as we talked earlier. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We need to realize that there are the doctrines of baptism. There are seven baptisms mentioned in the Bible. And when we understand that, we can get there, but still we need to get the seven down, and we need to get past it. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, there's the baptism of John, there's the baptism unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You see, without Israel being baptized, they never would have made it across the Red Sea and to safety away from Pharaoh and his army and over on the other side. There's the baptism of suffering. You see, we got to see that Jesus came to the earth and He was baptized with suffering. Yes, He was baptized by John, but He was also baptized with suffering. You see, we need to see all of these particular things. One of the last ones out of the seven, and these may not be all, but you can find them, is the baptism of the Great Commission. That's the baptism that we are baptized with. The baptism of the Great Commission. Why? Because it washes away sin. Why? Because it saves us. Why? Because it places us in the Lord's kingdom, in His church, the place the only place where there is safety from eternal destruction. This is why we need to understand that. Not only that, some other things that are written here, the laying on of hands. And somebody will say, well, those funny folk lay on of hands. Yes, that's right today, but then without the laying on of hands, the church would have never gotten to where it is today, because those who were commissioned by God and given that special power of the Holy Spirit laid on hands and caused the thing to happen that we might now have what it is that we got to be all that we can be in Jesus Christ. Then when we look a little further, we find the resurrection of the dead. Now, you know, there's two kinds of folk that's going to be resurrected. When Christ comes, those who are still alive and those who've already died. And it said a good one, you know, the righteous one, going to be raised up to meet Jesus in the air. Now, the rest of us, if we are not in that group, we're going to fall and be eternally destroyed. And put a pin by the word eternal. Eternal. That's a long word. Don't ask me how long, I don't know. But it's a long word. A never-ending word. Eternally destroyed. And then we ask the question, what can we learn and apply today from the lesson to this Hebrew church, to this Hebrew group of Christians? What can we learn? Well, one of the things we can learn is they needed a pep rally. And we need a pep rally too. We need a pep rally. And see, when you have a pep rally, you show up. You know when we need to have a pep rally? We need to have it as often as we can. And then we need to all come and get fired up about doing what it is we ought to do. We ask the question, are we in danger of falling away from our faith in Christ? I can ask the question and I can answer it for me. But you're going to have to answer it for you, and you need to answer that question. If the pressure was put on, can you stand? The pressure that's greater than the things that take out our mind, because even though the things of our mind are greater, we are more afraid of the physical pressures, which are less, but the physical pressures will take us down. But are we willing to realize that we also have the persecution of mind? And are we in danger of falling away? Have we began to grow and left the discussions of the first principle of Christ and began to grow and move on to perfection? We need to answer that question. We need to look at it. And we need to do it. We need to have pep rally. We need to get there. If we're still caught in the rut, are we vulnerable to falling away from our faith in Christ Jesus? We need to ask ourselves, you know, will I hold on no matter? Or if a little something happened, will I hit the road? Will y'all get upset with me because of what I said and hit the road? Or will you hold on to Jesus? You see, I got a struggle just like you. But what are we going to do? What impact will this have on our eternal destination? Now, we're going to have one. We're going to get landed. You know why? It's in the book, and I believe what he said. We're going to either land in heaven, or we're going to land in eternal destruction. A better word for that is called hell. It's up to us. We got to make the decision. Time to get right. Then move on. Pass first principles. We need a spiritual pep rally. We need to get it on. And if we don't get it right today, we need to come back tomorrow. Send up some cheers for Jesus. But we need to prepare ourselves mentally and bring something to the pep rally so we have something to cheer about. We can't bring outside garbage into the Lord's pep rally. We got to bring something spiritual so we have something to shout about. This is what we need to do. God is calling. Jesus is pleading. The Holy Spirit is patiently waiting. It's waiting if we're not a Christian. He's waiting for us to obey the gospel call. You see, when Christ came down and died, do you know how many folk he died for? He died for all of us. And he wants all of us to obey. You know why? Because the other option is fatal. The other option is eternal destruction. He wants all of us to obey. Obey what? The gospel. How Christ died, how he was buried, how he rose the third day, according to the scripture. That's what he wants us to obey. He wants us to obey it to the point that we hear it and believe it. Repent of our sins, and here it is. I can't make it out of this by myself, God. I need your help. God said, Jesus. Then we confess him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Put him on in water baptism. What goes on back there? Same thing that went on in the Red Sea. You see, the baptism unto Moses brought about salvation. The baptism in water today brings about salvation. And I love to put this point in. Folk wasn't hanging around when that Egyptian army was behind them crying, I don't know whether I want to go or not. They weren't hanging around. They dove off in that hole and didn't look back and ran to the other side. They were thankful when Jesus ripped the wheels off of the chariots of the enemy. And if we stand up, he'll rip the wheels off the chariot of the enemy today. He'll take care of us. But I got to believe, confess him as the Son of the living God, then be buried in water baptism. And for the rest of us, it's time for us to step up and show something. You see, the rest of them looking for a pep rally. And it's our job to put on a pep rally for Jesus. Time for us to get rid. We can sit around and do little or do nothing. Or we can learn the cheers. And then we can go. And we can do it for Jesus. It's up to us. Now, I'll tell you what happened. I can talk all the prep rally stuff that I want to. But you know what God is saying? We'll see. You know what we'll see mean? We'll see mean, will we really get on fire and do it? Or will we just talk about it and never get anything done? And you know, when we started Bible study this morning, you know how many people we had? First minute, two. So if don't nobody show up with you, you cheer. You got it? If no one shows up with you, you cheer. Don't worry about whether they come. They might need you to cheer so they can get up and join hands. Are you with me? Don't be afraid. Let's move on past first principles. Do it for Jesus. If you're not a Christian, I hope I say this with a humble heart. I hope I can. You need to be a Christian, please. Because the end result is bad. We need to obey the gospel. If you can't get enough out of this little sermon, and I understand that, I got time. I'm sleepy, but I'd rather talk to you about Jesus than I'd rather sleep. You know why? Because I'm concerned and I want you to be able to do it. For those of us as Christians, you need to obey the gospel and come and be baptized into Jesus Christ. For the rest of us, it's time for us to just get up and do something. What we're doing, if we don't feel like we all that, it's not enough. If you all of that, show us how to do it. This is what we need to do. It's time for us to repent. It's time for us to do more. It's time for us to bring some spiritual tears to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is calling. He's calling us to obey the gospel. If we've never done it, he's calling us to get up, make it happen. Show the world that a few little people for Jesus can make it happen. Or we can sit there like the Hebrews and be in danger of falling away from the greatest thing that ever happened for mankind. We beg you, listen to the words of the song. Come to Jesus. It's free. Come right now while we're standing, while we're singing.
Let us haste, oh, haste to bring the bounce of love. drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the prayer. Come, come, 'tis a fountain home, been for hope.